and is currently in New Hampshire, but we'll hear from Elijah Royale Wednesday, June 5th on the WGXC Morning Show.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Science of Aesthetics Laser and Med Spa, offering a wide variety of multifaceted cosmetic services at 810 Union Street in Hudson. Consultations are available. Information at 518-697-5390 and scienceofaesthetics.net.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cornelius Eady of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a rainy Sunday. There's an 80% chance of showers or thunderstorms, and there could be hail or gusty winds. The high should be 74 on Sunday, and there should be a low around 45 Sunday night, with a 60% chance of rain overnight. Monday, there's just a 30% chance of rain, mainly between 2 and 5 p.m., with a high of 58 and a low around 41. Then Tuesday, isolated showers are possible after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 64 and a low around 49. You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears. Tune in to Radio for Open Ears Tuesday, June 4th at 6:30 p.m. WGXC has an extra web stream of the Catskill Town Board meeting live. Go to wgxc.org and click on the Listen button. Scroll down to find the live web stream of the Catskill Town Board meeting at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 4th. Turn out in person or tune in at wgxc.org. Recording of the meeting will be in the audio archives at WGXC a few hours after the meeting.
Right, noon show, it. Marky B, G-Trees here, gonna sign out. See you next week. We're so glad you listen and you care enough to...
Yeah, Mr. Power, that beat. You can smell it when I'm walking down the street.
Oh, yes, we can. Oh, yes, we can.
I can dig rapping. But a rapper with a ghost rider. What the f*** happened? Well, I wouldn't tell. But most of y'all sharing bars like you got to buy the bunk in a two-man sale.
A two-man sale.
Something's in the water.
Something's in the water.
And if I got a brown nose for some gold, then I'd rather be a bum than a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Where you and I was walking. Now I run the game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off.
King Kunta,
black man taking no losses.
Oh, yeah.
Where you and I was walking. Now I run the game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off. When you got the yams.
What's the yams?
The yam running out of Richard Pryor. Manipulated Bill Clinton with desires. 24/7, 365 days times two. I was contemplating getting on stage just to go back to the hood, see my enemy and say,
oh, yeah.
Where you and I was walking. Now I run the game, got the whole world talking.
King Kunta,
everybody wanna cut the legs off.
King Kunta,
black man taking no losses.
Oh, yeah.
Where you and I was walking. Now I run the game, got the whole world talking.
King Kunta,
everybody wanna cut the legs off.
You goat mouth mammoth.
I was gonna kill a couple rappers, but they did it themselves. Everybody's suicidal, they didn't even need my help. This shit is elementary, I'd probably go to jail if I shoot at your identity and bounce to the left. Stuck a flag in my city, everybody's screaming Compton. I should probably run for mayor when I'm done, to be honest.
That was... Oh, welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM. WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, Hudson. That was King Kunta by Kendrick Lamar. We're here in front of our studio audience, preparing to bring you Our Town, Our Truth, and part two of Mental Health Awareness. We'll kick off our show after the local news and weather.
The funk shall be within you.
Now I run the game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off. King Kunta, black man taking no loss.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton reports for Columbia Green Media that the new Greene County Jail will break ground the week of June 10th after Greene County Administrator Sean Groden returns from a vacation, according to Deputy Greene County Administrator Warren Hart. The county is awaiting final permits from the Department of Environmental Conservation, but not a word from state government officials that they are allowed to share jail services with another county. Currently, Greene County is sharing jail services with Albany and Columbia counties, so sharing jail services is clearly not illegal in New York, as some Greene County legislators have claimed. Still, Assemblyperson Joseph R. Lindahl introduced a bill in Albany May 29th, authorizing Greene County to enter an agreement with a contiguous county to share the construction, financing, improvement, and/or maintenance of a county jail. Diana Goodwin, a senior advisor to State Senator Louis Sepulveda, said May 30th that Sepulveda and State Senator Jamal Bailey will co-sponsor a companion bill in the state Senate. Wyndham businessman Nick Bowe, one of many residents protesting against the tax increase a new jail will incur, said that when the state legislature ends, and I quote, "By June 19th, we want to have an explicit law allowing us to do this. We want it loud and clear so that it is undeniably clear," end quote. But by then, construction on the new jail will have already begun. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Amelia Teasdale reports for the Columbia paper that the folks speaking out May 23rd at the fourth public hearing in Chatham on the proposed new zoning law still have many different views on a portion of the law regulating short-term rentals. Currently, short-term rentals are illegal in Chatham. More than 20 people spoke at the public hearing with a variety of concerns, such as the proposed 160-day residency requirement to rent out your own home. Resident Nancy Stock said, and I quote, "How the heck are you going to know what people are doing in their houses?" end quote. Sally Simmons worried that the law discriminates against second homeowners. Van Calhoun wanted to limit short-term rentals. He said, and I quote, "Housing is a real problem here," end quote. Or Abby Misick worried about the definitions of the zoning law. Ken Blass was upset about lighting and sound requirements, and Vance Pitkin thought the penalties were too harsh. Misick and Pitkin have been endorsed by town Republicans for the town board elections in November, so clearly the issue will linger into the fall. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. David Lombardo reports for the Albany Times Union that Albany legislators are considering a bill to force pet owners to bring their animals inside from extreme weather conditions. If the bill passes and is signed by the governor, pet owners would face a $500 fine for the first offense, and pets could be seized for noncompliance. Pets would be inside, under the law, if the temperature reaches 25 degrees Fahrenheit or below without precipitation, 32 degrees or below with precipitation, a wind chill temperature of 0 degrees or below, a heat index of 95 degrees, or temperatures above 100 degrees. The bill could get a vote in the state Senate next week. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that the Ulster County Legislature will choose an interim county comptroller at a special meeting June 11th. But with legislator Joseph Maloney, a Saugerties Democrat with a wife working in the comptroller's office, recusing himself, the legislature has an even 11-11 split between Democrats and Republicans. So it has been difficult to find someone who will win enough votes. Mark Gallagher or Lisa Cutton, two Democrats who have already announced they will run for the post in the November election, have been ruled out by many legislators who do not want to give one candidate a head start against another in the election. Elliot Auerbach, the former comptroller who left in mid-May to become deputy state comptroller, recommended deputy comptroller Evan Gallo. But Doxey reports not many favor him either. Republican Minority Leader Ken Ronk wants acting county executive Adlai Ryder appointed. Reiner was former county executives Michael Hines' chief of staff and previously served as deputy county treasurer and is a Democrat and is a Democrat. Ulster County Legislature Chairwoman Tracy Bartels said Democrats are, and I quote, pursuing the possibility of another candidate. I'm waiting to see if he can get clearance. Right now, he works a job he would need to be relieved of if he were to get the appointment. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend. Here is your WGXE weather update. A mostly sunny Friday afternoon is in the forecast with a temperature high near 76 degrees and a northwest wind at around 7 miles an hour. For tonight, it will be mostly clear with a low around 52 and a northwest wind at around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Your forecast for the weekend. On Saturday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. It will get increasingly cloudy with a temperature high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 60 degrees. And on Sunday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 74 degrees. Sunday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 51. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC, 90.7 FM, hands-on community radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
As a grown man, I'm not to lose, I only defenders. I'm packing up whatever I can. Been waiting for today, but all I can think to say is, oh no, don't throw out my Legos. What if I can't let go? What if I come back home, back home? Oh no, don't throw out my Legos. What if I can't let go? What if I come back home, back home? Can we keep my Legos at home? 'Cause I wanna move out, I don't wanna move on. So bad. Saved up enough to rent an apartment far away from mom and dad. My Christmas card looks like a mugshot.
You're just listening to Don't Throw Out My Legos by AJR. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, presenting 1 hour of Our Town, Our Truth, and one, wait, and part two of mental health awareness. So I'm here with, you know, myself. I'm William, Shahi, Phoebe.
Hello.
And our studio audience.
Hey y'all.
Everybody back there.
Hey.
So in the second half of our show, you'll hear from Phoebe, Jay, and Romeo.
Yep.
So you guys should be able to have a nice time listening to them. And all views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse parent organization, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green.
Cool. So with that, they get to hear our opinions, and they're just ours.
Wow.
Hey, it's Phoebe. I'm excited to be here with Shahi and William, picking up the conversation from last week. So this is part two of Our Town, Our Truth on mental health awareness, because we felt like we didn't get to everything we needed to get to last week. Shahi is nodding at me. Yeah. Yeah. So what do we need to get to?
Mostly, like, the anger of, like, where does it come from? And, like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of talk last week about just where anger and just all the major emotions that get diagnosed as mental health issues, depression,
like
anger.
Fights.
Where's this all made out of? Where does it come from? And now we're going to...
What starts it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Symptoms, maybe.
Yeah, exactly, right? And how do we...
Signs of depression, things like that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like home environment.
Maybe how to deal with depression.
Well, it's your show. What do
you think? Like, I feel like anger comes from, like, home environment, excuse me, and home environment and like their surroundings and like how they grew up. Cause like anger is like a strong feeling. Some people could say hate.
Yeah,
that's like a very strong word.
Like,
how much anger do you feel like is like coursing through the people you go to school with right now? High levels of anger.
I mean, I'm not everybody else, so I wouldn't really be able to feel how they feel, and I don't know what they experience in their home life, you know, who they've lost, what pets they've lost, you know, maybe, like, personal things that have happened to them that maybe, like, they're traumatized about something that just, they just need somebody to talk to but just don't know how to say anything, so they just block everybody out.
And yeah, I'll be honest.
It's just not the best way to deal with your emotions.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like, when I get mad, like, I get mad, like, I will turn into a Super Saiyan and, like, punch a wolf. Like, I remember, like, one day, like, I got mad. I just got so mad that, like, yeah. I don't want to go into details, but.
You don't have to go into detail. I think I'm curious, you know, as somebody who's trying to help create a space that feels like it holds you all well in yourselves, your mental health, your experience. Like, what is important, for, you know, what do you need in your environment, whether that's showing up at school or whatever, to, like, hold, whatever, like,
so,
what's moving through for you?
Like, it depends how the morning is and how the days are.
Yeah.
Like, let's say, like, you get up, like, you stub your toe, and then that falls into, like, a whole bunch of things. You were late to school, you got slapped in the face, or your lip was busted, or you, got detention.
You lost your phone.
Yeah.
So is it fair to say that, like, sometimes a fight that blows up at school or punching a wall is just, like,
one
small
of
outburst
outlets.
Of, like, a much larger situation that's going
like,
on?
For me, it starts with me not talking. People keep asking me questions, asking in a back of way, and then blowing up or someone saying something to me. Because, like, just a moment ago before I left school, and Sherman was like, "You're crippled. He can't do anything because, like, it's a, like, a long thing with this person." I don't know if I can say any name, but I'm not.
But it's like her, like, giving you a hard time on a regular basis.
Yeah, like, all he wants to do is just fight me for something. Like, all he does is he calls me up. Like, he just wants to fight me.
What do y'all think bullying is made out of?
Bullying is, like, when you, like, do something, like, more than one time. And it keeps happening repeatedly.
Like, where does it come from?
I feel like bullying may come from many things, actually. Bullying can all start from a person being bullied. that's actually experienced what they're giving another person, mm-hmm. how they're making another person feel, and they, I don't know how people who bully people and people who make people want like themselves want to commit suicide. How do you sleep at night? Mm-hmm. You know, it just,
yeah, like where do you get enjoyment from that?
Yeah, how does that make you feel good about yourself that you just did that to a person? And if you know how somebody else feels, it's just wrong to do that to another person, you know? Like, if somebody else gets bullied, right? And say, like, a whole, like a circle of people are, like, just targeting, just
dogging that person.
Yeah, like. Just, like, getting on one person, just like, oh, look what he's wearing this, look at his hairline, all that, right?
That's not cool. Like, where'd that come from?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
not
what I want to know.
Everybody doesn't have it the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Like, not everyone can afford, like, the top best gear, like,
yeah,
the new Jordans that just came off the shelf. Or,
yeah. Everybody's different in their own way, you know? Everybody's unique.
Yeah, like you said, everyone's unique, everyone's different. Everyone has their strengths, everyone has their weaknesses.
Do you feel like, mm-hmm. how is bullying handled in school? Do you feel like it's taken care of in a good way, or it's kind of running rampant? Like, what's the deal?
Like, me, personally, I feel like it got better. Because, yeah. like, I've known some people that have gotten bullied. I've gotten bullied myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I feel like it's gotten better through the past years.
What's changed, you know?
Teachers are starting to help more and be more involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're actually able to get involved in useful ways. Like, they're paying more attention. Or I feel like there's a lot more awareness.
I feel like...
happening.
I feel like people are starting to realize how wrong bullying is, you know?
Yeah, so like, it's, like, starting to disappear.
Yeah, like, as I was talking about, like, say another person was bullied, and then they see, like, a whole bunch of people doing it, right? And so they just want that least bit of popularity to make them just feel good about themselves when they go home. So they join that other group of, like, that other group of people, and you never know. It could be your very best friend that joins them to help. You know, just like
you just feel like you could cross over that. Yeah, I mean, this is something I'm curious. I feel like you all are the peer pressure culture of your school. So, like, how do you tip the scales so that, like, the tip toward popularity isn't in favor of bullying, but your popularity gets tipped toward not being a jerk to people? So, you know, like, it's like, do you feel like that's possible?
Like with me, like, we, like, instead of, like, bullying, we tipped it to, like, sports, because like. It's one thing to be, like, a jerk, and, like, it's another thing to be, like, a jerk in sports, because they're totally different things.
So it's an outlet where you can work out your aggression that's a little less problematic.
Yeah, or, like, football or something.
And it's one thing to be rude than it is to be bullying, you know? It just...
Mm-hmm.
There's a very, like, a vast difference between the two, you know? It's just... Bullying varies in many ways, you know. It could be cyberbullying, you know, bullying up close, bullying at home, maybe your family members, maybe, like, someone that you're really, like, close with, just being, like, a full, like, jerk, like, just...
Yeah, for me, like, bullying feels like somebody is taking, like, joint satisfaction out of somebody else's misery, so they're kind of, like, invested in creating that, and it's hard to rationalize if that's not your instinct. Yep. You're like, why does it make you feel good to make me feel bad?
Like, sometimes, like, it's just straight-up anger. Or sometimes it's just, like, aggression and something like that. Or, like, sometimes it's, like...
But to your point, like, having other outlets for aggression, because, like, maybe that's part of what's important here, too. Because I've heard a lot of stories from y'all about as young as, like, second, third grade, like, there are fights happening, suspensions, getting thrown. So, like, I can't sit here and be, like, 6 and 7 year olds are just messed up. Like, there's something else there that we need to have some compassion for, I think. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, to your point, Shahi, like, where are there places for, I think, might be very righteous anger that's alive in young people's bodies to actually go somewhere that's not hurting each other? I don't know your thoughts on that. Where those spaces
some
are.
Some people, like, they're just messed up and they want to hurt. But, like, my mother always told me, just treat them with kindness or, like, walk away. Or, like, if they hit you,
just be the bigger person.
Yeah, like, but, like, it's to a point where, like, you just can't tolerate it. Like, me, I have a very high tolerance level. And, like, when I get angry, and, like, that, like, 15-second part of you, like, when you get mad, like, instead of like, me just lashing out of anger, like, I like to think and, like, collect myself. Yeah, that's, like how I stop from getting into fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, for me, it takes a lot to get me pissed off. It just, you know, I'm not just going to let some little bully, whoever feels like they're in their bag right now and just wants to, you know, like, take somebody's day away from them. I just don't let it happen, and I walk away and be the and, you know, and just be the same me that I want to be, you know. I just, I carry on with my day and just don't let what they say hurt me. And I know, like, a lot of teachers say that to students, but sometimes that doesn't work, and they're driven to other things like suicide, which also was reflected on as something that, you know, shouldn't happen, and call a suicide hotline, which it doesn't help all the time.
That message you're saying doesn't help? Or what?
Yeah, like, call a suicide hotline.
Yeah, like, work. That's what every single teacher is going to tell you. If you really need this help, call the suicide hotline. And say like, that suicide hotline person tells them the police will be at your door. And you're like, I didn't want police intervention. I wanted a person to talk to physically one on one, you know, just.
Yeah, like, not like 15 SWAT members banging at your door.
Exactly. I don't want a whole SWAT team at my door to talk to me.
Yeah, and, you know, you should have some agency in that. I think, you know, a lot of hotlines, and you should check into them, because some hotlines might be more sensitive to safety and needs. Like, you know, that the Trans Lifeline has, like, an awareness of the specific vulnerabilities that trans people face. So, like, there's who you get on the other line might understand that and be able to talk to you. So, like, don't assume, though, don't write off hotlines, because I do think they're important. Yeah. And I think your point is, like, we need as many pathways to getting support around this stuff as possible. You know, that can be one option.
If you have that close person to talk to, you know, in all needs, please do talk to them. Like, if you actually need that help, go, I'm not saying it in the rude way, but like go see somebody. If you have a therapist nearby you, you know, like your mom, your dad, your cousin, you know, whoever's closest to you, or whoever you can reach over the phone, maybe just take the time to actually, like, sit down and call them, you know. Maybe they'll help and they'll understand what you're going through. Maybe they've been through what you've been through, so you never know.
Yeah, but, like, all I ask is, like, don't crowd them. Like, give them space. Because, like, then, like, that's going to, like, make them feel like, oh, what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's going to get them scared of them. Maybe they may do suicide, so.
Just be understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With an open mind.
Appreciate both of your reflections on that. We only have a few minutes left to wind up our segment. So any last minute thoughts that you all want to have around this whole piece around bullying, how it affects our mental health, and how we can hold each other better in community?
If you're a teacher and you see children getting bullied, please stop. Don't look at it and, like, it's normal and close your door.
Just please do intervene.
Yeah.
Cool. And what about for the kids who are in school?
If you see somebody in the hallway getting bullied,
stop.
Please do stop it.
And if you're a bully, just stop. Like, it's not cool.
Agreed. Cool. All right. Shahi, William, thank you so much for an awesome show, awesome conversation. Great to pick this back up. We're going to hear from Jay and Romeo on our next segment. We're going to pick up the same kind of theme and conversation, but hear from their perspectives. Thank you to our listeners.
Bye.
Both of you.
Have a nice day.
Every argument, every word we can't take back. Because with all that has happened, I think that we both know the way that the story ends. Then only for a minute, I want to change my mind, 'cause this just don't feel right to me. I wanna raise your spirits, I want to see you smile, but know that means I'll have to leave. Know that means I'll have to leave. Lately I've been thinking, I want you to be happier, I want you to be happier. When the evening falls and I'm left there with my thoughts and the image of you being with someone else, well, it's eating me up inside. But we ran our course,
we pretended we're okay. Now if we jump together, at least we can swim far away from the wreck we made. Then only for a minute, I want to change my mind, 'cause this just don't feel right to me. I wanna raise your spirits, I want to see you smile. No, that means I'll have. I've been thinking, I want you to be happier, I want you to be happier. So I'll go, I will go, go, go. So I'll go, I will go, go, go. Lately, I've been thinking, I want you to be happier, I want you to be happier. Even though I might not like this, I think that you'll be happier, I want you to be happier. Then only for a minute, I want to change my mind, 'cause this just don't feel right to me. I wanna raise your spirit,
from the WGXC newsroom. This is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grand. Diane Pinheiro Zucker is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Attorney General Letitia James, May 31st, recommended the New York State Police begin a body-worn camera program. The recommendation came in a report from James clearing two state troopers and a sheriff's deputy of responsibility in the 2018 death of a handcuffed man. James's report was issued 8 days after a state trooper fatally shot an unarmed Columbia County man on Interstate 84 in Orange County. The case is currently under investigation by James and her office, but was not mentioned in the report. According to the report, and I quote, the Office of the Attorney General takes this opportunity to recommend that the NYSP seek the necessary funding to implement a body-worn camera program. Of the 20th largest law enforcement agencies in this country, the NYSP bears the distinction of being the only agency not outfitting its members with body-worn cameras or piloting a plan to do so, end quote. James said that as recently as October 2018, New York State police officials said they had no plans to implement such a program, citing its, and I quote, prohibitive cost, end quote. Since 2015, the Attorney General is required to investigate all deaths of unarmed civilians involving law enforcement in New York. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Diane Bowden is reporting for the Columbia paper. Town of Ancrem is looking at the possibility of equipping Town Hall with wireless projectors. Steve Aliha, a member of the town's finance committee and chair of the Zoning Board of Appeals, came before the Ancrem Town Board May 16th to pitch the idea. Under Aliha's proposal, the conference and meeting rooms would be equipped with the projectors, which would allow the use of electronic devices to make presentations, thereby cutting down on the use of paper and saving money. He told the board the reasons to do so are costs, sustainability, usage, and reputation. As a bonus, Oliha said, the projector would prove itself useful during the Ancrem Kids Summer Camp program by allowing staff to show a movie on rainy days. Cost to install the projectors in the conference and meeting rooms was estimated at $10,000. Town resident Bob Wilcox pointed out that the town board used to project its meeting agenda onto a screen behind the court bench. He said, and I quote, it was a joke, end quote, because it was unreadable. Wilcox said much more than a new projector is needed to make the concept work. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo this week announced the State University of New York is now accepting applications for the Carrie Gabbe Memorial Scholarship. The program provides full scholarships to 5 students to attend 4-year SUNY colleges beginning in the 2019-20 school year. The awards cover all costs of attendance, including tuition, room and board, college fees, books and supplies, transportation and personal expenses. Applications are available at suny.edu and must be submitted by June 30th. The now 4-year-old program honors Carrie Gabbe, an attorney and public servant. Gabbe grew up in public housing and attended public school in the Bronx, then went on to graduate from Harvard University and Harvard Law School. He served as an assistant counsel to Governor Andrew Cuomo and later as first deputy counsel for the Empire State Development Corporation before his death in 2015. Read the full press release at governor.ny.gov. Rachel Silverstein is reporting for the Times Union. Longtime Albany political reporter Liz Benjamin is preparing to leave the weeknight Spectrum news program, Capital Tonight, after nearly 10 years. Benjamin declined to comment May 30th. She said, and I quote, "That's not something I'm prepared to at this point. I'm going to dictate my own terms," end quote. The show is popular among Albany insiders and provides a forum for elected officials statewide. Capital Tonight is expected to end after the legislative session concludes June 19th. Benjamin joined Capital Tonight in 2010 when it was produced by Time Warner. Before moving to television, she reported on state politics for the Times Union and the New York Daily News. Benjamin also launched and developed the Times Union's political blog, Capital Confidential. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip. Have a good day and a nice weekend. Thunder, lightning and the thunder, thunder.
thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder, 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 feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder, 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 feel the thunder.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live from Capsule Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM, WGXC, broadcasting Accra, Catskill Hudson. You were just listening to Thunder by Imagine Dragons. Mostly it's about bullying, what we're going to be talking about a little bit about.
I didn't know that song was about bullying until you just told me. So, yeah, did you pick that for today?
Yeah, it's for today.
What kind of message comes through in the song for you?
Stepping up, going forward. Don't let it stay in the past. Mostly, yeah. Just not stay in the past anymore. Get going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So, Romeo, I just want to say welcome to Clubhouse Radio. This is your first live show, yeah? So that's awesome. But you have been coming to the Clubhouse or have been coming to Clubhouse for a long time, so you're going to be familiar maybe to some of our listeners, which is cool.
It's my second day back.
Awesome. So good to meet you and have you here. And then we're also with Jay. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
Welcome. And this is your first radio show and also actually your second day ever, right? In Clubhouse.
Yeah. Clubhouse. It's been very fun so far.
That's awesome. Welcome. I'm so glad y'all dropped in, found out about the radio show and got involved. So, yeah. So we're excited to pick up the conversation from where Shahi and William had left it and continue talking about mental health awareness and what specifically y'all are grappling with in your lives around that, and anger and bullying and fighting has come up in that a bunch. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I want to kick it back to y'all and see, you know, what from that conversation felt alive for you, and what do you want to kind of keep bringing in?
So when I was listening about the bullying, what I was saying about bullying, he was trying to explain what happens. So things happen at home, like when they're being like someone at home, like a father or mother abusing them and stuff, and then when they go to school and be mean to other people. Being mean to others to make themselves feel better. So they try to look for that energy, and because they've been exposed to that energy and think, oh, this will make me feel better in life.
Yeah, so it's coming out of their own experience oftentimes of abuse or being bullied or trauma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like that nuance is understood or held well in school when these things come up? Jay's shaking their head.
Not really. Oftentimes, either bullying, I feel a lot in public schools, is completely ignored, or it's tried to sum up under one complete form of circumstance, which may not apply to all of the cases, because I feel like a lot of people who are supposed to be helping with this kind of thing don't remember that there's all kinds of forms that bullying and other social abuse can take, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So more awareness is needed on how that's actually, all the different ways that's actually showing up in the school ecosystem that you are surviving in. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, you know, William and Shahi left at the end of this first segment, you know, was a message to teachers, like, please intervene. And I'm curious your thoughts on, you know, take that a little bit further. What does that mean? What does good intervention look like? What's helpful in a bigger picture for whether it's teachers or Clubhouse staff or whatever, for people who are in a position to intervene on bullying? What's needed to really make that work?
It's about, like, caring for other people in life and making sure people are safe in life and have someone to go to instead of getting hurt and then doing something they shouldn't be doing in life. Just a lot of things on the street. The youth clubhouse, great thing to get people off the street, come to a place, they'll be welcomed and not judged. If there are people is being doing that here, report it to us and we will take care of it and remove them from here, because if they're doing it, yeah.
Like, one of the things I really value in any space that I'm in, including the clubhouse, is that we simultaneously are accountable for our actions and our impact on each other, and hold this goal not to dispose of anybody, that like we hold that anybody can work through what they've been through in their trauma and come out on the other side and be in community in a good way. And yeah, so I'm hoping this can be a place where, even if you feel yourself on that edge of like getting pulled into fighting or violence or bullying, that maybe you want to come here to break that cycle for yourself, maybe acknowledge some of the stuff that's making you feel like that, and, you know, come into a space where you're going to get a lot of positive affirmation and care and love and support for like showing up in a different way and not have to deal with the negative peer pressure that maybe you're dealing with at school that makes, you know, you swing a different way.
Like, with bullying stuff, when I was younger, I was one of those kids. I was like, people tried their hardest to bully me and stuff, but I was an angry child when I was younger. Mostly, I was one of those kids, didn't care. If you try to bully me, I'll beat you up. If you try to bully one of these kids or whatever, I'll still beat you up because I don't care. Mm-hmm. Basically, I made, like, this is what I heard from other people before. Like, I made the school a safer place in a way, but I didn't feel like it because, like, I always got in trouble, always suspended. It's funny. It was a funny.
Like vigilante justice.
Basically.
Yeah, I see you. I see you, Batman style. Okay. Yeah, that's come up, you know? People are, like, getting to that point where you need to defend yourself, defend your own, make it, you know? And if nothing else is intervening in that cycle, I think, it, you know, I think it's, again, like, we need nuance. We need our teachers and our guidance counselors and folks to understand, like, all the different ways this stuff can be made up of, and not just also catch you in a fight and assume, like, oh, you got to go, versus understanding what that's made out of for you. So, yeah. Jay, one of the things you brought in yesterday, and we were talking about this, that I thought was really powerful, was about how do we make, you know, mental health awareness like a culture of inclusion instead of like something that creates separation. Can you just like talk more about what you were saying around that and how you think we need to create different environments for us to hold mental health well in our community?
Well, a lot of the formation of some of the mental health issues that we're talking about right now, like bullying, was we were talking about how various different effects of people's upbringings and just the various stimuli around them can interact with how they interact with the world around them. So I feel like a lot of what needs to happen to actually make progress in this topic would be to create safe spaces just as the general space, because what's happening right now is society is seeing people who have mental health issues or just suffer from various stigma, and they're just piling onto it with creating this sense of otherness because, oh, you have this mental health issue. Well, you know, you can go deal with it, but you're going to go deal with it away from us so that we can continue to focus on what's actually important. It's never explicitly said, but it's very clearly stated, and I feel like it's a very harmful mentality to those who are trying to get better on topics.
Thank you. I think it's really, really powerful that, like, to center the neurodivergence and different mental health realities that every person brings into a space, and centering everyone's access as essential to the classroom learning, versus saying if you have any other different way of handling emotions or learning or whatever, then you got to go to a special place to deal with that. So, you know, which sounds like kind of what you're saying can be the norm in schools.
Right. Well, and it's also treated as even beyond just kind of pushing other people away, they are actively shamed for being different, mm-hmm. which can make trying to accept yourself on these things a lot harder if you're facing social stigma and, like we were saying, social abuse with the form of bullying. People are big imitators. So I think what happens a lot is we get these people in authority, like teachers or guidance counselors or principals or whatever, really any adult who's supposed to be helping people, they push people who are struggling away, and then the students and the other faculty, they simulate it, and then the next thing you know, you've got an entire society of people who are ostracized because they don't fit into X, box, in Y way.
Mm-hmm. Resonate for you, Romeo? Hmm? Does that resonate for you in your experience? Does that feel familiar, what Jay's talking about?
It's a lot of power words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. That's why we're on radio. Because of the power of your words. Because I'm like blown away always on this show about like the experience, like when you all show up. Because like I feel like I'm tasked, right? Like as a staff person here, like our mission is to help kids, you know, do whatever. And I'm like, y'all know what the issues are and you know what's needed to make them better. Like I truly believe that the people closest to the problems we're naming are closest to the solution. So we're talking about youth empowerment and youth's, you know, mental health, and you all know the answers. And I think your words are totally powerful, and just having you all here, even, you know, speaking to creating a culture that centers neurodivergence and doesn't create any stigma or shame around that, having cultures that we don't other each other, safer spaces or safe spaces. And I'd love for you to tell our listeners more about what a safe space means. You know, having that sense of like vigilante anti-bullying, like, I, you know, that's powerful. And I think that's the stuff that ultimately changes the world around you, as we kind of wait and hope that like the teachers and guidance counselors and principals might show up, you know, but in the meantime, you get to create the world you want to live in.
I heard one of these quotes before. Even the small voices can make a loud impact.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, and a lot of times those voices are only small because they've been kept small.
Mm-hmm.
Like y'all have power of things to say. Do you mind, Jay, telling our listeners like what safe space means? I feel like this is a newer term for some folks. We have a poster hanging up here at the clubhouse that says this is a safer space. So, yeah, what does that mean to you?
For me, a safe space really means a place of complete inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't stigmatized here for gender differences, sexuality differences, religion, race, any number of things that normally they might be ostracized in normal society for in safe spaces. It's really just about creating a sense of, hey, I understand what you're going through and it's okay. Because so much of what happens in normal society is, even when people say they understand, they mock it or they belittle it, or like you had said, voices who have something to say are kept quiet because they're held under the sway of everyone's belief that you can't say what you want to because of X, Y reason. And safe spaces are really about building yourself up to actually be able to make a difference and feel safe enough to change things, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things, language words that I learned that I find helpful, I learned this in a class called Trauma Aware Conflict Transformation, and it was about how we show up in relationship to each other. Are we coming in with power over, which might look like bullying? Are we coming in with power under, which maybe looks like us saying, you do what you want, I'm not going to voice an opinion because I'm afraid to, right? We're giving our power away to somebody. Or are we in power with, where we both see each other as powerful beings who deserve to be able to move through our space in a self-determined way, and that we respect each other, you know, and hold each other with honor. And like that to me is what we're always trying to equalize back to. So when we see power over coming up and checking in and being like, why are you exerting power over this person in our space? Like, we don't do that to each other, and checking in on that. And safer space, you know, to me is in some ways about also getting to that, like, that level of respect and understanding of each other so that it's possible for us to not play out these different dynamics along lines of gender or race or mental health divergence or all these different ways in which, you know, we can start to create power dynamics around each other. Yeah. What does safer space mean to you, Romeo? Or safe space? Does that word resonate for you? Is there any such thing?
Somewhere you can be, you are welcome, like Alice always say. Mm-hmm. Your clubhouse, other places where you can find your welcome, like a very close friend, a childhood friend you knew, and you can still talk to that person. A lot of people don't have relationships with their parents and stuff, because a lot of people think they're afraid, and like if they're like gay or something, they feel like they're not going to be accepted for their parents and stuff, and that's why they're always scared even to talk to their parents about how they feel every day and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really have a good relationship with my mother. My whole life it was just me, my mom, and my sister. Sister moved out. Finally, mm-hmm. I get my own room.
Congratulations. Yeah, it's a great sense of safety there. But you know, it's a powerful thing, you know, intentional communities, chosen families, spaces where we can create that sense of safety with each other. It's needed in this world. There can be a lot of hostility around these issues we're talking about. And so creating spaces where we feel like we can trust that we're going to show up, and the people who are also showing up to that space are honoring that basic principle, feels extraordinarily important to me for like the clubhouse to survive, right? That we really feed that trust that we are creating safety for each other, no matter what you drop in with, right? That's the beautiful thing about the promise of safer space. Like you checking your own assumptions and making a comment, you know, that is, you know, kind of has like latent and, you know, homophobic language to it, right? Calling somebody gay is an insult, right? Something that comes up, right? That violates safer space for me, right? Because it's taking and creating a sense that like gayness is not held in respect and honored, and like for the people who are coming through our space. But when we like check our own assumptions about that, then when it's something else on the other side, right? Like, you know, somebody else, you know, hears a racist comment, that like that solidarity of like, we don't tolerate any of that, you know? So when it's your time to have your marginalized identity be targeted, we're all in solidarity, even if it wasn't our thing that we were necessarily holding for each other. And that changes things.
I also feel like something that's forgotten a lot when safe spaces are talked about in a lot of media that gets circled around or common society is that it's not just about the understanding of marginalization. It's about the ability to raise each other up and help other people grow stronger because of that understanding. Mm-hmm. And another thing that's also forgotten a lot in safe spaces, if you don't have one, you don't need to feel bad for making one. People are often targeted, like, oh, special snowflake needs their own safe space. Like, yeah, we all do. We all face something that we need to just talk about with people, and that's okay, and people shouldn't feel insulted because of it.
It's really powerful. Thank you. Well, I think we're winding up to the end of our time. It's a really powerful note to leave folks on. The clubhouse is open Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays from 3 to 9 p.m. We are aspiring to create safe and safer spaces, so come help us make that happen. Romeo, Jay, thank you so much for joining Clubhouse Radio. We're going to start to wind ourselves home. So, shout-outs. What do we have for shout outs today? Obviously, as always, a huge thank you to Wayfarm and WGXC who make this radio program possible. They are continuing to do their monthly sustaining donor campaign, so consider helping them out.
And we also want to give a shout out on June 26th and 27th. The high school is having a play called The Littlest Empress. You can check that out.
Awesome. Shout out to the Catskill and Hudson Youth Clubhouses, Kai, our fearless leader, for making this program possible. To the Juice Branch, Relish Delights, who have given us some sponsorships for this program and supported what we're doing. Anybody else have some shout outs? Can I bring us on one?
Kai, if you're listening, I miss you. It's Romeo.
Shout out to everyone that's ever helped someone when they were in need.